Well, praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Question for the morning is, what if there had been no Easter? What if there had been no Easter? So 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse number 12. Would you stand together with me, please, as we read from God's Word? Paul says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But then listen to this. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead.
Amen.
The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Pray with me. Father, we just give you thanks today for the celebration that we're enjoying this morning. Truly, that's what it is. It's a celebration. Celebration of life. Celebration of hope. And I pray that as we turn our attention towards your written word today, that your Holy Spirit will bless. And God, that if there's anyone here today who doesn't know this risen Savior as their personal Lord and Savior, that this will be the day, this will be the time, this will be the morning that their life will change forever. So Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure the vast majority of you here this morning have heard of a man named Harry Houdini. Many of you have. He happened to die in October 1926, but his claim to fame was that he was a magician that specialized in spectacular escapes. As a matter of fact, he was said to have laughed at locks and sneered at fetters, and they said of Harry that he had the flexibility of an eel. He had the lives of a cat. And they did all kinds of things to try to incarcerate him, to trap him. They would seal him in coffins, and he would find a way out. They riveted him one time into a boiler, and he escaped. They sewed him up in canvas bags, and he escaped. They locked him one time in one of those old-timey milk cans, and he escaped. They sealed him in a beer barrel, and he escaped. They put him in a maximum security prison, and old Harry somehow got out of the maximum security prison. But then in October 1926, old man Death laid his hands on Harry Houdini and put him in a grave from which he is yet to escape. As a matter of fact, Harry Houdini was so bold about his abilities that he told his wife at the point of his death, if there is any way out, I will find it. And if there is any way out, I'll make contact with you and we'll do it on the anniversary of my death. And so for 10 years, on the anniversary of his death, she kept a light burning over his portrait in their home. And at the end of 10 years, she turned out the light because Death had Harry and he couldn't escape. There was no way. Well, there was another man whom Death laid his hands on, and his name was Jesus. And Death put Jesus in a tomb. And there was a stone in the mouth of that tomb, and there was a seal of the Roman government on that tomb. And on the third day, Jesus Christ stirred himself He rose from the sleep of death. He left those grave clothes that were wrapped around him, and like a butterfly would forsake a cocoon. And Jesus Christ passed through the walls of that tomb. And by the way, the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so we could look in.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
He's not behind us in a tomb. He's before us on a throne. We thank God for that. But I want to ask you a question. Suppose all that hadn't happened. Suppose death still held Jesus like it does Harry Houdini today. Then what? I mean, suppose there had been no Easter. Then what? Well, you see, the bottom line of Easter is the fact that we have an opportunity to either accept or reject Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And it's our choice. No one else can make that choice for us. But you will be held accountable for the choice that you make. You're absolutely free this morning to determine the direction of your life. You could turn to God, you could turn away from God, you could do anything you want with your life. But I want to tell you something, there's something you're not free from, and that is you're not free to determine the consequences of the choice you make. God has already determined that. What was the cross about anyway? About sin. It was about sin, my sin, your sin. It was about Jesus giving his life on the cross for our sins, dying in our place. Yet his death and his burial and his resurrection really mean nothing to us unless we accept them personally for ourselves. Unless we allow those events and time to change our lives. Harry Houdini couldn't get out of this appointment with death that he had. There's no way he could get out this time. And you and I, we may be able to talk our way out of situations. We may be able to work our way out of certain things in our lives. But we have to realize that every one of us here this morning has an appointment with the resurrected Christ in our future. So it's my prayer this morning that you would agree with me on at least three things. I hope you'll agree with me on more, but at least three things. First of all, God knows more than we do. Would you agree with that? God knows more than we do. Number two, whatever God does is always right. You do agree with that, right? And number three, God knows something about our lives that we desperately need to know, and that is that we all need Jesus as our Savior. So Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected for you and me. No other reason. He did everything he did on this earth so that you and I could enter into a very personal relationship with him, and it is Easter that makes that possible. I mean, if he just died and he was buried, that's the end of the story. Nothing more, nothing less. But because he rose again, there's much more to the story, amen? And it includes our eternal destiny and our eternal destination. That's why we truly celebrate Easter this morning. But back to the question, what if there had been no Easter? What if these things had never happened? What if Jesus died but had not been resurrected from the dead? Then what happens? Well, the Apostle Paul addressed this issue in our text this morning. I want you to look and listen to what he wrote and what he said about the importance of the resurrection. Look back at verse 12. He said, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." So here, if there had not been an Easter, Here's the first thing that we would have to work with. People would be giving their lives for a dead man. People would be giving their lives around this world for their faith for a dead man. Now, some people deny the resurrection of the human body, and it's easy to see why people would do that. I mean, it is. Some people have died quite tragically, like the German airliner crash just a few days ago. Not one body was found intact, they said. So how could their bodies be raised at the last days when they were not even all together? How could that happen? Others believe that the soul of man is immortal, but the body of man was made only for this earth. In other words, our soul lives forever, but our body, when we get through with it, it's done with. The body is the source of sickness. The body is the source of disease. The body is the source of pain and suffering and sin and evil and death and corruption. Thus, how can a body made strictly for the earth be resurrected at the end? That's what some people believe. Now, others want to spiritualize the resurrection, saying such things as the resurrection takes place at death, or it took place at Jesus' resurrection, or it involves only the character and the personality of the individual. Many in our day and time have difficulty believing in a bodily resurrection when Jesus Christ comes again for His church. But I want to tell you, there is coming a day, and when that day comes, when Jesus comes for His saints, that if you're in a cemetery, you're going to be in one of the most liveliest places on the face of the earth. Because the saints are coming out. There's going to be a bodily resurrection. There's going to be a joining of soul and body once again as we go home to be with the Lord. If Christ is not risen, then Easter did not happen, and we have believers all across the world who have already or will give their lives for a dead man that gives them no hope. That's not likely to happen under normal circumstances. If there was no Easter, if there had been no Easter, people are giving up their lives for a hoax. But there's a second problem. It's found in verse 14. Verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless." Our preaching is useless. In other words, preaching would be a cruel exercise to convince people of something that did not happen. If there had been no Easter, then what is taking place at this very moment in this church and hundreds of thousands, just like it all over the world, is nothing more than a scam. It's a scam. It's a cruel misrepresentation of truth. It is a cruel misrepresentation of hope being proclaimed to a world, for the most part, that is without any hope whatsoever. You see, the message that we preach is supposed to be good news to those who hear it. But if Jesus has not risen from the dead, it's not good news, it's deceitful news, it's phony to the core. Our message is empty and meaningless if Jesus is not risen from the dead. We might as well find something else to do, because there's no need to preach a false hope. The message we preach, the good news, consists of life and death and burial and resurrection and return. It speaks of victory over death, because Jesus Christ did conquer death and the grave. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, it means, listen, it means that God rejected His sacrifice to provide salvation for mankind. And He has chosen to leave Him in the tomb. But if Easter did take place, as we believe that it did, then our faith is not in a dead man, it's in a living man. It's in a living man. And that when that time comes, He will raise us up to live with Him forever. But if there had been no Easter, there would be no hope of eternal life with God. That brings us to another problem. Last part of verse 14. Christ has not been raised. Our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So is your faith. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 kind of defines faith for us when he said, faith is the assurance of things you've hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities that you have never seen. If there had been no Easter, then our faith is empty, it's groundless, it's meaningless. If Christ is in the grave, then our faith, as we said earlier, is in a dead man, and dead men don't save living men. We're doomed, ladies and gentlemen, if there has not been an Easter. For we are following someone like ourselves who lived and died and was buried and is still in the grave. If Jesus doesn't live today, if He is not seated at the right hand of the Father this morning, then our faith is dead and our hope for eternity has been cruelly crushed. Verse 15. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead, but He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. Here's the problem. If there had not been an Easter, then false witnesses would be everywhere. It would be everywhere. If there had been no Easter, and yet the church is preaching that there was an Easter Sunday morning, and if members of local congregations are witnessing to other people and telling them about Christ and seeking to win them to faith in Christ, then we are all bearing a false witness. We are deliberately lying to folks if we know that there's not really been an Easter. The apostle Paul bore strong testimony to the fact that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead and that He was alive. And so now these apostles were either lying or they were telling the truth about the resurrection of Christ. Now, verse 16, if the dead do not rise, then Christ has not risen. Because you see, the only reason there's hope, only reason there's excitement, only reason we're here this morning rejoicing over Jesus and what He did for us, the only reason there's hope of eternal life is because Jesus Christ did rise from the grave on the third day. And if He didn't, we're all doomed. We're all doomed. But here's a very, very important thing. Verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. There's no hope for them. They're not going anywhere. They're in the grave forever. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. You see, here's a major problem. If there had been no Easter, then sin would still reign supreme today. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the Bible says we're to be pitied above all people because we are nothing more than dreamers caught in a terrible hoax dreamed up by man. So if there was no Easter, what in the world are we doing here this morning? Why in the world are we wasting our time here this morning? But I'm thankful that the apostle put verse 20 in. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Give him praise. You see, Paul says that with such confidence, doesn't he? Christ has been raised from the dead. The reason he could make that bold statement is because Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus that changed his life totally and completely on the road to Damascus. Think about Paul. Think about him when his name was Saul, before he changed his name. Think about him for a minute. Saul of Tarsus was a zealous Jew. Saul of Tarsus hated the name of Christ. Saul of Tarsus hated the gospel. Saul of Tarsus hated the doctrine of the resurrection. Saul of Tarsus hated the church. Saul of Tarsus was a murderer. Saul of Tarsus was a lost man who was going to hell because he did not believe the gospel. No wonder Paul had a testimony. No wonder Paul was so convinced that Jesus was risen from the dead, because he had encountered him personally. He had talked with him personally on the road to Damascus. And this is what I have to smile about when I read this story. A man who hated the doctrine of the resurrection as a Pharisee had his life changed by a man who had been dead but was now alive. When the women came to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning, the angel made a startling pronouncement to the women. He is not here. He is risen as he said. I don't know about you. I don't know what you believe about Jesus rising from the dead, but I want to go on record this morning as one who believes that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And not only that, that he is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And not only that, but there's coming a day when he's coming back to claim his own and take us to heaven to be with him. That day is coming. And so, listen, because he lives, our preaching's not in vain. And because he lives, our faith is on a solid foundation. And because he lives, our witness is true. And because he lives, we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. He is risen. When I thought about the angel saying, "He is not here, he is risen from the dead," it was actually one night late, as I was going to bed, this thought just came to me about, "He is not here, he is risen." And this the word "he," I got captured by that word "he." Who is he? Who is he really? And I said, you know, I told God, I was talking to the God, and I said, how can I express who he is? And I said, God, I know that you've given other people, other preachers of the Word of God, you've given them these really neat list of things to read and to say about who Jesus really is. It gets people all excited. But I said, I want you to give me something. I want you to give me, I want to be mine. I want you to give it to me. And he started giving it to me right then. Lights out. I'm going, wait a minute, I don't have a pen. This would be a classic story to tell you. I got up and I got a pen and wrote it all down. I did the next day. And I said, and what God has given me are the ABCs that describe who he is. Who he is. Now, you don't know who he is? You don't know who he is? I'm just about done. Stay with me. You can rise also and leave in a minute. When I began to think about who he is, I was reminded that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was reminded that He is the bright and the morning star. That He is the crucified one who died for our sins. That He is the great deliverer. That He is the exalted one, the one who is high and lifted up. That He is the forgiver of sins. That He is the God who is our refuge and strength in time of trouble. That He is our healer. That He is Emmanuel, God with us. That He is Jesus, the blessed Son of God. That He is the King of kings. That He is the Lord of lords. That He is the miracle worker. That His name is above every name. That He is the omnipresent one. That He is praiseworthy. That He leads us beside quiet waters. He is risen from the dead. He is Satan's worst enemy. Amen. He is truth. He is the unchanging one. He is the victorious one. He is the wonderful counselor. And then I came to X. X. I looked everywhere for an X. Couldn't find an X. I said, what am I going to do? He said, just tell them I'm the expert on all subjects. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is the zealous one. That's who He is. And so I want to ask you something. I want to ask you, do you know Him today? Have you come to the place in your life where you realize that you need Him? And what He's done, what He did for you on the cross makes it possible. What He did for you through the resurrection makes it possible. Jesus Christ is reaching out to somebody in this service this morning. And so I want to ask you, why not? Why not today? Why not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as Paul did on the road to Damascus and as I did in a church in Bessemer, Alabama, and as the majority of people who are here today have done? I want to tell you, we serve a risen Savior. We serve one who came and He lived His life and they crucified Him and they buried Him and He rose from the dead and He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and when He comes back, it's my prayer, you're ready for Him to come back, because He's going to take home those who are ready. Amen. And that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, because there has been an Easter. If there had been no Easter, we're barking up the wrong tree, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But there has been. Amen. He is alive.
Amen.
Do you know Him? That's the question this morning. Pray with me. Father, You are a glorious God who's full of grace and mercy that You've extended in our direction. And Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that if there's one person here who's been under the sound of My voice, who's heard the story of Jesus again, but this time it was different. This time they really heard it. They really locked in on what You were saying to them this morning. And it's going to change their life. And we're thankful for that. So God, if there's somebody here today who's never truly made a public profession of their faith in Christ as they should, I pray for them right now that they might just pray with me. Just a simple little prayer. Pray it to themselves. I pray it out loud. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life and save me today. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for being buried for me. Thank You for being raised from the dead for me. And thank You that You're coming back one day to get me. If you prayed that prayer this morning and believed it with all your heart, welcome to the family of God. But everybody that God saves, He calls them to openly and publicly follow Him. He doesn't have any secret service. He only has people who love him and who are willing to take a stand for him, whether it's through baptism or whether it's through a recommitment of their life or whatever it is. And I just pray that today is going to be a breakthrough day for somebody here this morning. There may be others here today, Father, who are looking for a church home, and this is the place you're leading them to. I pray they'd not wait another service, another Sunday, but that they'd come. And I pray that all of us might rejoice over what you have done and what you're going to do in the days to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.